that was a good introduction piece. You know that fellow playing that on the organ, you just couldn't see her fingers moving. Are you getting them? There we go. There we go. Now can you hear me? We were just talking. Melissa, when she sees this shirt, she does this, which is Aloha Hawaiian. Do you know what a Hawaiian comic says? Aloha ha 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 ha. That's enough of that silliness. By way of announcements, this week is Vacation Bible School. Stephanie, come down here and just wave your arms around. We have to applaud her because downstairs has turned into a desert. We had a desert up here, but yay! Anybody interested in coming and helping, just watching and getting excitement? 9:30 till 12:30, whatever, wherever we're about. So thank you.
Yes.
All right. Other things by way of announcements, we don't have an awful lot going on. Paya, do you know of other things that we need to mention by way of announcements? All right, summer hours are upon us. I have heard it's going to get hot today, so just beware. Just beware and be cautious of that. You do notice we have air conditioning. Amen? All right. We're prepared to worship. We're gathered here, and this is about gathering ourselves, preparing ourselves for the week, getting with God and letting God give us some direction, center us, found us, providing foundations, and set us forward. Let's begin, stand, and wave hello to everyone. Let's turn to our call to worship.
While you're still greeting each other and standing, I want to announce that I've put a placard or a poster out in the narthex. It is that time of year again when we think about the Faith Day at the Rockies, where all the churches send people to the Rockies games. So the sign-up is out in the narthex, and we have until the 1st of August to turn the money in. So think it over, put your name down, and be sure you have a telephone number. Now, if you'll join me in the call to worship. Come and be with us, O Lord.
Bless us
with your presence, O Lord God. The Lord your God will make you abundantly prosperous in all your understandings, in the fruit of your body, in the fruit of your livestock, and in the fruit of your soil, for the Lord will again take delight in prospering you. The Lord delight in prospering our ancestors. The Lord God will delight in prospering us when we are obedient. Let us turn to the Lord our God with all our heart and with all our soul. And now, remain standing for the hymn, Rock of Ages, on number 361 in the red hymnal.
Oh.
You may be seated.
This morning I'm reading from the first chapter of Paul's letter to the Colossians, beginning with the first verse. Paul, an apostle of Christ, Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. In our prayers for you, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. You have heard of this hope before the word of the truth, the gospel that has come to you. Just as it is bearing fruit and growing in the whole world, so it has been bearing fruit among yourselves from the day you heard it and truly comprehended the grace of God. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from this glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while fully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, sir. By way of concerns and celebrations, Matthias Monroe is recovering. He's in rehab. He is experiencing some of the fog of COVID and tired. But he is off of all of the life support and all of those things, and they are spending time with him. Monica is not here this morning because she's going to be with him in rehab this morning. But she wants to thank all of us for our prayers. We continue to support him. And, of course, Ruth and the whole family as Monroe overcomes his bout with COVID. Earl and Marianne, Earl gave me a call, and he is still struggling with the results of some of his recent medical issues. And he says, I hope to get back into church. He says, we miss it every day, every Sunday. But he said, we just right now, it's a struggle. So we lift them and are aware of them. We are gathered, as you know. We have some who are joining us virtually, and perhaps those are now watching, and so we celebrate their ability to participate in however they're celebrating and participating. You see some of the other concerns on the back of the bulletin. Do you have other prayer concerns to lift in the body this morning? Michael, this young woman over here in front of Paya has a prayer concern.
I'm concerned that Ukraine has fallen to the back of news cycles. It hasn't helped. It is going on so badly. They are being pummeled daily. We really need to keep them in prayer.
Thank you, Renee. Prayers for the Ukrainians, for especially for those innocents who are caught up in a war. And thank you. Thank you to continue that. We can give to UM Corps. You know that money will get where it needs to go. Excuse me. So do be aware that we are able to do some of that ministry. Another concern, Michael, are you handing that to Paya? Is that what's going on back there? Thank you.
A minor surgery on Tuesday, and I haven't heard from him. I tried calling him.
Also, there's another gentleman, his name is Kavita Fifita. He's the president of the Mormon Church, but part of the community. He passed away also this week. very dear to us with the Tonga Fellowship.
Tell me his first name again.
Tevita.
Okay, Pai have faded in and out there. Takai had minor surgery this week. And prayers for Tevita, who passed, a beloved member of the Tongan group in Salt Lake. All right. Other concerns? Concern for the batteries and the wireless microphone. All right. Yeah. We will just have a reincarnation on that and just get those fixed.
I have a concern.
Please, a concern.
I know I've asked this before, but I ask for your continued prayers for my home church in Pender, Nebraska, St. Mark's Lutheran. They had a pretty devastating fire, and that church has the most gorgeous chancel and altar and statuary of any Lutheran church that I know of, and it's all just black with soot. They're working on trying to restore it. The other concern I have is for my son, Matthew. He and his family are undergoing some very tough times. So if you'll keep them in your prayers as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Richard. By way of celebration, we have a handful of celebrations going on. Monday, tomorrow, is Donna and Mary Boyle's anniversary of 9 years, so we celebrate that union. Wednesday, William Funaki Ami is having a birthday, and we celebrate that. I have down here that also Wednesday, Joe and Monica Mathias are having an anniversary. It'll be their 31st. I have down here on Thursday, Richard, that you're on the hook for Susan Schneer's birthday. Is that right?
Yeah.
You didn't forget, did you?
I didn't forget.
Good, because this is your last warning, say, if you forgot. So.
I have some more birthdays, too.
You have some more? Come, sure.
Okay.
Now that you got settled.
Now that I'm settled. Well, I just ask for prayers for my son, Matthew. His son, Xander, is here today with us, and so I'm glad of that. But today is Matthew's birthday. It is also his daughter Riley's birthday, and as you said, this week is Susan's birthday. And what day is your birthday, Matt?
Xander.
I can't hear you.
Thursday. This Thursday?
Not this Thursday, is it?
Same as Susan's.
I think it's the following Thursday. Anyway, okay. Happy birthday, Matt. We'll settle on a date later. It's not the same day.
How do we know our birthday? Our parents could tell us anything. Those are the celebrations I have listed. Are there others? Are there other celebrations, birthdays, anniversaries, milestones? Michael was sharing that his bees are producing honey. He had a whole new hive, had to set up new hives, and so the little bees are being busy as those, and we're grateful for that. And I've noticed flowers are growing and grass is growing, and we have... are they pelicans or swans or herons or what over at Utah Lake with the long neck and the...
You got snowy egrets.
Okay. Snowy egrets and pelicans. And sometimes great blue herons. Well, I don't know for sure which birds they were, but my house is right there, and one of them came swooping around, and I just caught a glimpse. I thought an airplane was going to fly right into my house. So big, beautiful birds. God is good, and all the time, God is good. Let's turn to our unison prayer. Lord God, hear our morning prayer. Gracious God, our world seems to be sinking from sin, too heavy to carry, too real to hide,
too deep to undo. Forgive us our transgressions. Set us free from all things present and present which hold us back from your grace. Lord God, hear our prayers. Open to us a future in which we can be changed, and grant us grace to know more and more in the likeness and image of our Savior, Jesus Christ. I invite you to a moment of silent meditation in preparation for prayer. Lord God, as we gather on this Sunday morning, which portends to be a very warm day, we lift our hearts and thoughts and prayers to you, giving you thanks for this cool sanctuary and for our homes. Help us be conscious of those less fortunate, those for whom the heat can be life-threatening. Grow us in our awareness, Lord, of all of those others who are in need. As Renee shared, don't let us forget about the violence occurring in Ukraine and Russia, for the innocents being killed and maimed and injured of body and spirit. Keep our awareness, Lord, on those who are struggling with issues sensitive, too sensitive to share, and yet very real. You know them. Thank you. Keep us aware, Lord, of those whose infirmities prevent them from being able to do the basics of life, and whose struggles might mean change, and whose lives are following the gradual progression of aging. Help us be aware and treat each other as our beloved. Lord, keep us aware. Keep us aware of the ways that we live our lives, that we might be Christians offering Christ to the world. Just as Christ came and with integrity and perfect justice lived the life to show us the path, help us work through and change ourselves, moving on to perfection. Help us be those you call us to be. Help us to be those you call us to be to the world, those witnesses of the good news. And Lord, open our eyes to your gospel in our midst. The grace, the good love that you offer us, the care, the ever-present Holy Spirit which is with us, that connection which can never be broken with you, and the grace with which you care for us, those who are hurting, those who have passed, who are with you, those saints of light, we give you thanks. Open our eyes, Lord. Open our eyes to the grace that you've given us. Hear us, Lord, as we gather our voices with the Lord's Prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Amen, amen, and thank you. Our offering is listed next. If you haven't written your check, this is a good time to do that. But in the meantime, we're going to turn to our gospel scripture. I'm going to invite Richard forward again.
Now, if you'll stand, if you're able, for the reading of the gospel. I read this morning's gospel is from the 10th chapter of Luke, beginning with the 25th verse.
Just then, a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay whatever more you spend.' Which of these do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. 41 in the little black hymnal. There's a song in the air.
Yeah. Thank you. You may be seated.
Well, I've been warned not to preach a sermon, a fire and brimstone sermon on a hot day like this. So we'll just let that one be. I'm going to start with the word covenant. Covenant, when I moved to Aurora to be appointed here, the realtor said, "Let me check this house that you're looking at." He says, "No, you're clear. There are no covenants." And I thought about that for a moment because I thought you might find the perfect house and it might be in a covenanted neighborhood with some kind of restrictions that might be objectionable to some people. The last church I served, we inherited a storage shed. Fella in one of the neighborhoods there had moved into a covenanted neighborhood and he bought himself a storage shed and erected it in his backyard. And they said, "No, we don't allow that." So he had no choice but to get rid of it and told the church, "Do you want it?" So we inherited a storage shed. So the only trick is we had to go get it intact and assembled and pick it up and haul it back to the church. So we used the old Egyptian method, a lot of hands, a lot of bodies, and we just hauled it back. So covenants are agreements between groups of people. The Bible has a lot of covenants. You've heard that term. Have you thought about that and heard about covenants? How about the covenant that God made with Noah? You can look at that a couple of ways. One covenant was, if you will build an ark and take two of each animal, I will save your family. And so Noah's part was to fulfill those things. And God's part was to take care of it. But afterwards, God said, "I will make another covenant with you. And when the sign of this covenant is, I will put my bow in the clouds." And he made the rainbow as a covenant that he would never again destroy the world through the flood. You remember those covenants? There was a fellow by the name of Abram, he and his wife Sarai, and they lived in a place where they had lived for ancestors and ancestors and ancestors. And God came and said, "Come, go where I send you. Go to this place I am sending you, and I will make your descendants more numerous than the stars in the sky." The Abrahamic covenant. A humorous story, because by the time they were old, Abram and Sarai, later named Abraham and Sarah, were childless. And so it seemed that that covenant could not be fulfilled until indeed God prospered them. Covenants. There are lots of other covenants. The covenant with David, there were covenants. So there is another covenant that's pretty common. It's called the Hebrew covenant or the Sinai covenant. Moses went up on a mountain and he came down with stone tablets, and on them were written 10 directives. We call them commandments, don't we? But that was the covenant that God made with the Hebrews in Sinai. And the reason I lift this is because there's a covenant that Jesus has made with us. Love your neighbor as yourself. I will be with you in all times. The Holy Spirit will be with you, but love your neighbor. Love one another. Seems easy enough. I find it easy. I love my daughter. I love both my daughters. I love my mother-daughter's husband. Somehow the phrase stepson doesn't really work well. Joe is family. Joe is son. Joe is of the beloved. I love my grandson, although there are days that I'm sure his mother, Sarah, is a little bit perturbed with the little guy. She deserves it. I love this church. Not just like, but I am committed to this church as well. So love is about that. But the lawyer comes to Jesus and asks him the question. That was the New Testament pericope that Richard just read. The lawyer is questioning Jesus. Lawyers are always thinking, and they're this sharp set of individuals, and they're thinking this through. And okay, the law says love one another. And the lawyer wants to make sure that he's going to ace the course. What shall I do to inherit in eternal life? And Jesus asked him, he was always doing that, answering a question with a question. What does the law say? That's a good question to ask a lawyer. And the lawyer's right on it. He says, love your neighbor as yourself. Let me quote it. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Good answer, Jesus says. Good answer. But the lawyer is a lawyer. He's one of those thinking types, and he's prospering. And there might have been other people who were kind of on the same page, and he was aware of them. And there's another question about, well, got to love. And it's easy to love the ones you love, but you got to love your neighbor. Well, who is my neighbor exactly? I mean, certainly we need to narrow that down on who my neighbor is. And that's when Jesus tells him the story. This hated, despised Samaritan. Man caught by thieves, muggers, whatever, and he's robbed and left naked in a ditch. He didn't really do anything bad. He's not dead. He's not evil. He's not sick. But the laws of the Hebrews were specific about approaching a dead body or a naked body. And the priest obeys those laws and crosses to the other side of the street and goes around it all. He's not being an evil man. He's following the directives, the strict interpretations of the laws of the time. The Levite, an official in the church, he's the same thing. He knows the rules. So he properly avoids this person in the ditch. But along comes this unloved, unliked member of a community of people that the Hebrews detest. There is bad blood going back generations between the Hebrews and the Samaritans. And the rules and the laws and the edicts all say, you shall have no dealings with Samaritans. These are the ones that you say with a hiss in your name. But this Samaritan comes along and he takes care of him. He even goes so far as to take him to the inn and he says, if he accrues any more money, here's some money for him. But if there's more, I'll pay that when I come back. But take care of him. I will love this other. And Jesus looks to the lawyer and said, now who did the will of God? And the lawyer, he knows he's hooked. He knows he's caught. He knows there's no escape. And he says, the one who cared for the other. The one that cared for the unlovable ones. Who cares for everyone. Who cares for all neighbors. There is no distinction. So I'm your pastor in this church, and this is one of the things we do, is ask, how are things with your spirit? How are we doing? We might ask that question the lawyer asked. What must I do now to inherit the kingdom of God? How am I doing? Could I get a check on my grade to see how good I am, or could I do some extra credit? What's the story here? Are we passing? Richard read from Colossians. This first generation of Christians, and they've been thrown together. Paul has started this little church, and he hears what they're doing, and he's just, it's wonderful. They're prospering. They're bearing fruit. And he's so excited by what's going on, what they're doing, and how they're hearing about the ministry of these people, this church. First generation, it must have been so easy. It must have been so simple. I don't think so. Think about it a moment. It was illegal to be Christian. The Roman government could take and could imprison, could kill, could persecute you for your theological stance, for believing in this Christianity and following this Jesus character. So they were worshiping and offering Christ under duress, in secret, trying to survive. It would have been a difficult time. But they are bearing fruit. The impetus for this sermon, I don't know when it struck me, but I'm afraid I watch the news too much. And I see things on the news, and I hear reports, and there's been another shooting, and there's been another this, and there's a political outfall over this, and this person has been caught doing that, and these people, and there's this war that's going on, and the virus is mutated, and all of these coming, and I think I watch too much news. It just seems like everything's going the wrong direction, and I get overwhelmed with that. I just think, but I have to tell you a story about my fence. Now, hang on with me. Theoretically, at the end, these will all weave together. I live in this corner lot. It's actually, I have a three-corner lot. I'm a street and a street and a street surrounding me. So fences, and I have a six-foot privacy fence all around there. And it's beautifully aged. We'll use that frame. When it went in, I thought, when I moved in, and I thought, well, it's been here a while, but most of the posts seem pretty secure. I think I'm all right. The first year I was there, my neighbor calls me on the phone. Pete, he says, your fence just blew down. My neighbor. Went out there, and sure enough, three posts and two sections were laying in the sidewalk outside my yard. Well, my neighbor, good fella, strong, big fella, he helped me, and we got things propped up, and we used braces and pivots, and we poked stakes in the ground and anchored and did all kinds of things. At one point, I took my truck, and I used a rope tied to the bumper to hold the fence up while the wind was blowing. That looked really cool in the backyard. But we got the fence back up. So that winter, I did go out and replaced two of the broken fence posts. Took me 2 days. I was just learning how to do fence posts. I've done fence posts all my life, but man, these were a whole different group with a whole different breed of cat. So I got 8 feet of fence repaired, 16 feet of fence repaired, and three posts. I thought next summer I'll work on it some. So that summer came, and I was not looking forward to spending 2 days on two fence posts again. But you see, I have 190 feet of fence. 24 posts. That's going to take a while. I thought, I'll only do the questionable ones. And as I went along and started rocking them, they were all kind of questionable. It didn't look very good. So that first year, I got about 40 feet of fence and 8 fence posts in. I was pretty tickled with myself. But now I had this odd combination because I had this beautifully aged fence on one spot, and then this new fence on another spot, and then the beautifully aged fence again. Kind of looked like the Clampets. The next year I got out there and I did another 6 fence posts, got another 30 feet, put in 2 big gates. That was a big job and a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. I was kind of getting into how to build the gates and how to make them work and swing and do all that, and so that was kind of fun. So a little bit at a time, years have gone by now, and I'm down, I have 50 feet left to do and 8 posts. And I found that I can do a fence post in about half an hour if I can get myself out there to go do it. Now, the point of the fence post story is that if I had had to bite off that whole fence post in one chunk, you wouldn't have me here now. I'd be dead. Just couldn't have accomplished that task. But small bites, small steps, small progressions have made changes to where right now I've got a lot of new fence, and there's a few sections that are still beautifully aged. Some of them are braced up according to trees and posts, and one is tied down to an old tree stump, and it's pretty solid. But I have some to do, but I'm moving on. This is an analogy I want to bring in as we think about where we are and where Christianity is. Yeah, if you look around, you might think things are in a turmoil. Things are just awful. Things are getting worse and worse, and there's no hope. But we need to back up and think about what happened since the time Christ began his church and where we are now. In this day and age, we know and believe that we care for each other. In this day and age, through the grace of God, we have learned how to provide for one another. We've built hospitals. We've built schools. All children can go to school. There's medicine. There's emergency response. There's systems in place. There's clean water. There's wonderful good things. There's homes. Most of us live in homes. I'm kind of looking around to see which one of us live in the doghouse, but I think we're all right. through the grace of God, we have made great progress. Think about that. Think about equality and the progress we've made there. Think about the steps that Abraham Lincoln had to take and the price he paid. And that journey's not done. Think about care for all people. All people at all times, everywhere. Think about that. Now, we have had some stumblings in our Christian journey. You know, think about that. The Crusades, the Spanish Inquisition, those were not steps forward. But the progression of history and Christ is one that is continuing to progress, and we are moving on to perfection. So when we look around and we see things that are a struggle, we see things that are a challenge to us, and our spirits are weighed down, pause a moment and realize that God will not be mocked in human history, and that the grace of God continues to bring us forward. Let me read what Paul wrote. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from God's glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience while joyfully giving thanks to God. We're getting there. We're moving on to perfection. And He is with us. Amen? Amen. Let's stand and sing something about that. How about, Diana, will you lead us? The hymn is entitled, Where He Leads Me. It is number 338 in your hymnal. Stand if you're able and capable and comfortable and happy with and want to.
Thank you, Diana. Thank you, Miss Melba. Well done, beautiful. And your gifts of voice and fingers and talents are gratefully appreciated. Thank you so much. Let's go and follow. In the name of God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, He leads us. We will follow. Amen?
Amen.
Grab a hand of somebody. Let's sing our closing.